The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. And our first 10-minute speaker is Tess.
Hi, my name is Tess. I'm an alcoholic. Am I speaking into the microphone? Yes? Okay, good.
Just wanted to make sure.
I have been sober since July 31st, 2007, and I have a home group. It's this group, the Atlantic Group. I do service at the Sunday and Saturday night meetings every week, and I have a sponsor. Her name is Amanda, and I sponsor other women. And I have worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm currently on steps 9 through 12. Just a second. I need to take a breath. I felt like I was holding my breath, and I was like... I don't have that much time, so let me quickly tell you what it was like. I spoke at this meeting a few years ago, and I obviously bought my speaker tape and listened to it a number of times, so I know exactly what I said, and I like want to sound different. obviously, nobody else remembers what I said, probably. My drinking career was pretty short. I started drinking in high school when I was about 16 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. I stole Millennium champagne from my parents. And it was like, that was it. You know, I just remember that at that time, I felt like everything sucked. And then it sucked a little less, you know. And I started drinking, and I became a weekend warrior. I wanted to get drunk every weekend, and I did. And it was pretty normal at first. You know, I was just a normal teen drinker, but consequences happened for me pretty quickly. I moved on to other forms of alcohol. By the end of high school, I'd had some, like, normal high school consequences, getting grounded, my car taken away, almost got thrown out of school. I had a few friend interventions. Those were my normal consequences. But, you know, I didn't see that there was any problem. And it wasn't until I started attending college in New York that that things went downhill really quickly. And I don't know that I would say that outward consequences got much worse. I didn't lose a home or kids or anything because I got sober really young, but I was unable to function, you know. I mean, I would wake up at the end of my drinking at around 3 p.m. and after staying up till 11 a.m. and I would be sweating. I could barely make it to my babysitting job that was 2 times per week, and I'd already been fired from my other job for drinking, and, you know, I don't know how these people hired me as a babysitter, but I was like, alcohol is probably coming out of my pores, and I had no friends. I lived in a dirty dorm room, and that was it, and I don't know what happened, but I do know what happened. I want to get to sobriety quickly. So I went to rehab my sophomore year of college, and I was overcome with a terrible hangover and decided to quit school, and my parents sent me to rehab, and I went for 3 months. And what rehab did for me is it introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I thought that I had a drug problem, and that was that, and I was like, I'm gonna go to rehab, and I'm gonna get out, and then I'm gonna go to spring break, and in the Dominican Republic, and everything's gonna be fine. And so they just sentenced me to more rehab, is what happened. And I ended up there for 3 months, and when I left, I felt a little bit guilty about how much money it cost, so I thought I was gonna stay sober for the summer, and then I would drink on my 21st birthday. I was going to turn 21 at the end of the summer. And I didn't make it that far. And, you know, I don't know what happened with me on my last drink that made it my last drink. There's no reason other than I started working the steps. You know, I was going to meetings all summer, not working the steps, not calling my sponsor. She asked me if I wanted to pray, and I was like, you know, no thanks. And I just didn't know anything about AA. I have 5 minutes, okay. Like I'm talking really fast. So I thought that I knew a lot about AA because I've been in rehab and I had been attending meetings all summer long. And I thought I knew about alcoholism and I thought I knew everything. But I knew extremely little. You know, I'd opened the book and I'd read some phrases and I thought that this book was going to make me a Christian or I don't know what, you know, but I thought it was nice for people who were alcoholics, but I didn't think that it was something that was going to ever apply to my life, you know. I'd sort of skimmed Bill's story and decided that we didn't relate to each other. So, you know, and then I met this woman, and she brought me to my first sponsor, Jessica H., and she brought me to this meeting, and she said, you know, we're going to do the steps. And I said, okay, so should I buy a workbook? And she said, no, the steps are in the big book. And I was like, really, where? And we started going through, you know, line by line, which is what I do now with sponsees and what I've done with my current sponsor. We read the book, and it was sort of mind-boggling to me. And I was, you know, I didn't really like it at first. I was one of those people who crossed words out. You know, I would cross out he and write she and write, I was really offended by the capital letters. And, but I still did it, you know? So if you feel like, I mean, I say that because if you feel like you don't relate to the book at all, that's okay. It's fine that you think it's antiquated or stupid or sexist or whatever you think. You know, I don't relate to this guy in the 1930s. Just do it anyway, because I don't think that I would be here if I hadn't, you know, if I just said, you know, I can't listen to you. And I was in enough pain at that time and that I was willing to do it. And I don't know why. So I did the steps and I got to step 11, and that was all that I wanted to do. You know, I'm trying to think about like the last 7+ years. I have made all of the mistakes I think that you can, maybe not all of the mistakes that you could make. I'm sure there's other mistakes that I can make. But I have made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, I thought that I was one of those people who thought that once I got sober, that was going to be it. You know, I was so self-centered that I thought that once I was sober, everything would be great for me and for everyone, and things would just be great, you know. And that initial fog lifted, and I felt good that I wasn't hungover. But then things got worse, you know. I got myself into debt. I was probably a bad friend, sister, daughter, whatever. And I was like in a lot of fear for a long time, and the desire to drink didn't leave me for like at least a year and a half. And you know, I had a lot of ups and downs. I was fired from my first job out of college. I was unemployed for like a year. And this group, you know, people in this group have been there for me, despite me maybe acting like an insane person. You know, people are always welcoming no matter what we do. And for me, things really changed by working the 12th step, you know, and deepening my relationship with my higher power. You know, I was not really that interested in helping other people or putting my hand out. You know, I only have 1 minute, so I guess if you're new, I would just urge you to get a sponsor and to work the 12 steps. And to not ask too many questions, and if you're not new, I would say to just continue coming back to wherever, whatever meeting, and keep putting your hand out to the newcomer. So thank you so much for my sobriety.
Hi, our second 10-minute speaker is Alan.
Hi, Alan, alcoholic. I'm so happy to be here tonight, more than ever. Thank you, Dev, for asking me to be of service to my home group. And I love the Atlanta group. I love being here. It's one of the best things that happened to me. I have a huge family, and I love it. So I need to, close to the speaker. Say some things here before I forget, because I have a one-track mind and I go off. So my sobriety date is 5/1/2012, and I'd like to thank my higher power. My previous sponsors, GMF, John D, Brent B, Adam D, and my current sponsor, Frank K. I mention that because when I came in, I thought I knew what was best for me. So I thought that the sponsor I would get should be with many years, and that's going to help me do this, because this is the one thing that I'm going to do right, because I hadn't done anything right before. You know, I used to always start something and then quit it. But I would quit it because I needed the attention from someone in my family, but no one cared. So I thought if I stopped one thing and started a new one, I would get their attention. Well, I didn't. So I was born in Omaha, Nebraska. My parents abandoned me. My grandmother came and got me from Omaha, Nebraska. Raised me. She taught me to fear God and her. And yeah, but there was a catch to all of that. She used to beat me, and I would say beat me like a slave. And I say this seriously because, one, I saw roots, and I know what was going on in there. And my grandmother used to beat me with iron cords, extension cords, and vacuum cords. And the cords I was being beat with is nothing to these echo cords today. You know, these cords are very thin, but these cords were massively thick, and I could drop a key, and she would go off, and it was a reason to be beaten. So with that, and my father told me that I was around 12, that I would never amount to a pile of crap. And I thought about that, and it hurt me. And he said it much more colorful. But I said, wow, my father. And he gave me his name, and yet I'm not going to amount to a pile of poop. I mean, really? So, I mean, I used that and other stuff to fuel my drinking, because I was hurt. I abandoned again by my grandmother later in life. She got bipolar and she moved to the sofa. So for 13 years, that's where she lived, on the sofa. So it was just me. I had to defend myself. And so being chased home constantly, and I couldn't tell her, because if I told her, I would get a beating, because that's just the way she was. And I was called Tar Baby, punk, fag, porch monkey, jungle bunny, coon, nigger, anything. This was all done before I was 13. And I used to ask God, why? Why was I born? What's the purpose? So I drank on it, and I drank, and I drank, and I loved it. It gave me a voice, but I drank a little too much. And that's my story. I overindulged, and it got me here. That's it. That's my story. That is it. So I came in 2009 after 5 rehabs. I was going to do this, and I did it for 3.5 years, but I couldn't trust anyone. Because I couldn't tell anything was going on at home when I was growing up, and why would I tell somebody I'm getting beat every day, or that I'm, you know, tell my mom that, you know, kids are picking on me at school? I did sort of one time, and it just made it worse. So, you know, you just don't do that. So, forgot where I was at, but I'll get there. So, lost my thought. Thank you. And so I had the sponsor, but I couldn't trust him. Oh, so he couldn't trust a man. So I went back out. I was out for 9 months. 9 months was tough. I mean, I picked right up where I left off. Things got even worse. I came back. So I went to 12th Street. I met John D. there. He actually, it was Ryan L. who was there speaking. He had a suit on. I loved the suit. Man, where did you get that suit from? I love that suit. What's your home group? Blah, blah, blah. John D. became my first sponsor. Thank you, John. And then it was Brent B. Actually, yeah, second sponsor, John D. Then Brent B. Went through 12 steps with him. Going through that, I realized that I was in a codependent relationship. So I got crazy, like, okay, I know the facts now, what I'm gonna do? And, you know, so I tried to get out of it, and I got all twisted, and it got worse. So then I come back, I'm looking for a sponsor that who's gone through this and can help me. And that was my dilemma, because I thought the person would have to have experienced what I was living with, because I was still living with the partner, he was still drinking, and I want to get out. I don't know how to get out. So I was looking. I couldn't find a man who said they've lost themselves in a relationship. A sponsor introduced me to another sponsor. Well, I didn't think he had enough years. So I was working with the other sponsor, and things wasn't working out. And my higher power said, go back to that sponsor. That sponsor was Frank King. He saved my life truly, because he said, let's come up with a plan of action. That was huge. That was a big idea. I never thought of that. So it took 2.5 years for me to get out of this relationship, because I had to work through it, but I did. The whole time, staying sober, I was living with my partner who was drinking, but I did it. We are friends now. He's at his own place. I'm at my place. So things are good. So Frank truly helped me to get through that. Also, he keeps me in action. You know, I don't sit on the sideline and figure things out. You know, it's always what you're doing, where you're going, what me doing. So I am so grateful for that. What I want to get on to now. So, So I could have been very vengeful and hateful with the things that happened to me, but going through the fourth step, you know, getting to the causes and conditions allowed me to get rid of that. I made amends to my father. I call him now and then. I call my mother now and then. I made amends to my grandmother. She had passed away, but I wrote the letter and you know, did what was required for me to do when someone's passed away. So I don't live with that. You know, I am free. I don't have anything that I have regrets on. I don't have anything that hold me back. I am truly free to experience life. And life didn't start for me until 2009, because I was always worried about what other people thought of me and always trying to change their perception. And I was here at a meeting one day, and Daniel said, it's none of my business what other people think of me. And I have been living by that, because I realized I cannot change anyone's perception of what they think of me. But, you know, I thought I could in the beginning, but it's too many variables in trying to change a person's perception of you. So I turn over to my higher power, and, you know, I rely on my higher power, because he has last word in everything that is said and done. In my case, call my sponsor every day. I love calling my sponsor. I love working with my sponsor. 1 minute. I call people every day. I do prayers and readings and meditation. Meditation is tough for me. Sitting still is tough, but I do it, and I go to a meeting pretty much every day. If I don't, it's 6 days a week. Not that I need to or that I'm being told to, but I do it because I love meetings. And again, I love my home group. And if you're a newcomer, don't worry about if the sponsor who you're working with is an artist or not, or has the ability that you have. Just do the work. Get into the big book. Do the steps so you can get to those causes and conditions and change your life. Thank you.